I was born in 1960, and for me, growing up and watching the developing U.S. space program was about the coolest thing going. I was a total space geek. I had my ViewMaster with 3D pictures of rockets. I turned large boxes into spaceships, complete with crayon instrument panels. And I never got tired of watching Lost in Space and Star Trek, or old sci-fi movies like Forbidden Planet. I built and launched countless Estes rockets, some with payloads of unsuspecting critters like worms and bugs. To this day, I'm still fascinated with NASA history and our American heroes. Not just the astronauts, mind you, but the engineers and many others involved. Some of those involved in NASA research, like my small unsuspecting Estes rocket passengers, weren't even human. Sending monkeys for rocket rides began in the late 40s with V-2 rockets left over from the war. I mean, really, what else would you do with a leftover V-2 rocket? The simian specimens were given names like Albert. Albert 1 suffocated during his V-2 ride in 1948. Albert 2 was killed during his 1949 V-2 ride because of parachute failure. Albert 3 died at 35,000 feet in an explosion. And Albert 4, the last to ride a V-2, died on impact due to another parachute failure. In 1951, they switched from V-2s to Aerobee rockets, launching Albert 5, who also died on impact due to parachute failure. Albert 6, also known as Yorick, actually survived his flight, along with his crewmates, consisting of 11 mice. Unfortunately, Albert 6 died 2 hours later as his capsule baked in the New Mexico sun, waiting for the recovery team. One primate that did survive a later flight actually withstood 38 Gs during re-entry. Needless to say, upon opening the capsules, monkeys that did survive the ordeal of spaceflight were often described as being really pissed off. It was with this in mind that one particular primate, a human named Alan Bartlett Shepard Jr., was strapped into a Mercury capsule sitting atop an ICBM, a rocket also known by the name Redstone. The Redstone was basically the upgraded grandchild of the V-2, sharing many of its fairly simple systems. Both rockets were designed by none other than Wernher von Braun and his team of German engineers. They didn't like being called scientists. The primate Al had some advantages and disadvantages over the monkeys that had preceded him. One distinct disadvantage for Al was that they had failed to give him a diaper. After all, this primate was potty trained, and the flight was only scheduled to take 17 minutes. So, when swapping out a bad inverter turned minutes worth of countdown into hours, Al asked if he could get out and piss while they made the repair. A heavily accented German responded, "The astronaut will remain in the capsule." Bummer. Al was forced to relieve himself in his spacesuit. Something that was both an advantage and disadvantage for Al was, unlike his unsuspecting predecessors, he was fully aware of his situation and the unfortunate history of simian spaceflight. When Al uttered what has become known as the astronaut's prayer, "Please, Lord, don't let me fuck up now," he was very aware of the risk he was about to take and the very real possibility that he would not survive the next 20 minutes. He also understood that even if he did survive, his piss-soaked ass was about to experience something very unpleasant. You see, the Redstone wasn't designed to carry primates. It was designed to carry nuclear weapons, which, unlike monkeys and humans, can be built to withstand lots of G-forces. They're also designed to explode spectacularly long before needing one of those pesky, unreliable parachutes. To put it bluntly, NASA had strapped Al into that capsule more as a specimen than a spaceman, because they wanted to see what would happen to him. They weren't actually sending him anywhere. After all, there are much safer and less expensive ways to go 300 miles from Florida to the middle of the Bahamas. NASA's goal wasn't much different than what I had done with grasshoppers and Estes rockets 45 years ago. The grasshopper I sent a few hundred feet in the air seemed okay, but it couldn't narrate or describe its experience like Al could. Big advantage there, if grasshoppers and monkeys could only talk. Al's Mercury capsule, named Freedom 7, reached an altitude of 100 miles and flew a parabolic arc that simulated zero Gs and allowed him to test maneuvering thrusters for pitch, roll, and yaw. In fact, Al was the first human to manually control a ship in space. After testing the maneuvering thrusters and pivoting around, the ship was going backwards. Then, Al fired his three retro rockets in succession. This steepened his descent angle, which made the trajectory more vertical. More vertical made for more G-forces as it descended quickly into the thickening air. You can watch the whole 16-minute flight, complete with audio from his open mic, on YouTube. I recommend it. As the capsule fell into the thickening atmosphere, at 0.05G, a green light came on the panel indicating re-entry had begun. Then, the Gs quickly ramp up, and you can hear Al reading them off. About this fast. 3, 6, 9! Now, I've owned a few aerobatic airplanes, and for me, things start getting pretty unpleasant above 4 Gs. Al's G tolerance was nothing less than superhuman, and perhaps this is one of the reasons he was chosen for this flight. With his effective body weight exceeding 1,700 pounds at 11.5 Gs, long after most of us would have passed out, Al can be heard on Vox repeating, "Okay, okay." And that one word, repeated over and over by one very stressed simian specimen, is why I'm telling you this story today. Many of us are stressed out primates who never take the time to simply reassure ourselves that we're okay. After all, when it comes right down to it, we probably are okay. We certainly don't expect to die in the next few minutes, and reminding ourselves that we're okay actually holds tremendous value. It's a simple thing that can actually change our whole experience for the better. Our stressed out self is usually fixated on stories, concepts, and ideas, while our direct experience may not actually be so bad. In today's guided meditation exercise, we'll do like Al, and simply remind ourselves that, regardless of what's going on, we're okay. The first few minutes of this guided meditation will be the I'm okay part, and the remainder will be a regular meditation with you practicing mostly on your own. Before we begin, I'd just like to add a few more points. First of all, pissing yourself is completely optional. It might give you an interesting anchor for your awareness practice, you know, warm sensation at first, then cooling, itching, smelling, and all that stuff. But I'll leave that up to you. Second, during the I'm okay portion at least, I'm going to recommend that you put your hand on your heart. There's an actual benefit in doing this that's backed up by scientific research, but anyone who stands and recites the Pledge of Allegiance already knows this, even without the science. The act of doing so has an impact on us and brings us more into the moment to pause and express our best intentions and our gratitude. So with that, let's begin our guided meditation in honor of Alan Shepard, who I'll quote one last time. It's a very sobering feeling to be up in space and realize that one's safety factor was determined by the lowest bidder on a government contract. Before we begin today's guided meditation, I'd like to offer a word of caution. Many of us have a lifetime of conditioning that leaves us with underlying critical attitudes towards ourselves. This inner critic, for some of us, can be a challenging source of stress and distraction. Doing a practice like this can be revealing. The good news is that once we can see this inner critic for what it is, we can begin dealing with it. That's the upside. The potential downside is that this practice can expose something deeper we've been avoiding and may not want to deal with. But that isn't necessarily bad news. It simply means we have work to do. That is, if our ultimate goal is to make peace with ourselves. If you find this practice too difficult, skip it for now and focus on a more basic practice of breath meditation. So, let's begin today's guided meditation. Today's guided meditation will be a little different with regard to posture. I'd like you to put more emphasis on being comfortable. Sitting, reclining in a lazy boy, or even laying down. As long as you aren't falling asleep, make yourself as comfortable as possible. I'd like you to also set the intention to be good to yourself for a little while. Begin with whatever checking in technique works best, and take a few moments to find your breath and a favorable CG. Then, allow the breath to return to normal. Now, go ahead and place your hand on your heart as if you're about to say a pledge. Put your other arm and hand across your belly. Feel the rising and falling of the torso with each in and out breath. Notice the sensation of the breath and the contact of the arms and the hands with your belly and chest. Do a brief body sweep, head to toe, looking for and releasing any tension you find. Then, bring your awareness back to the sensation of the breath in the body, rising and falling. Contact of the hand on the heart, in and out. Allow awareness to be broad and inclusive, not contracted. Rising and falling, in and out, right here in this body. Now, silently in your mind, as you breathe in, say, "I'm okay." And on the out-breath, "I'll be okay." Again, on the in-breath, "I'm okay." And on the out-breath, "I'll be okay." Have good intentions for yourself, you deserve to be okay. Reassure yourself. In, I'm okay. And out, I'll be okay. When awareness wanders off, bring it back to the breath and the good intention for yourself. CG in the body, hand on the heart, awareness and good intentions here. Know on the in-breath that right now you're okay. And know on the out-breath that you'll be okay later. Now we'll shift gears a bit. If hands and arms are getting uncomfortable, you can go ahead and put them back in the regular meditation posture. We're going to continue the good intention for ourselves with another set of phrases. There can be tremendous benefit in simply wishing the best for ourselves. Like the desire for a good outcome for a friend facing a difficult challenge. Wishing the best for them. Wishing the best for myself. It'll take two breaths to say four phrases. On the first in-breath, say in your mind, may I be happy. Happy is uplifting. On the out-breath, may I be healthy, and register the desire for good health in the body with that relaxing out-breath. Next in-breath, may I be safe. And the last phrase on the out-breath, may I live with ease. And as you exhale, feel that relaxed ease of letting go in the body. Again, with the four phrases and the in and out breaths. In, may I be happy. Out, may I be healthy. In, may I be safe. Out, may I live with ease. Take a brief moment, sweep the body for tension. Release any contraction you feel and return to the breath in the body and the phrases. In, may I be happy. Out, may I be healthy. In, may I be safe. And out, may I live with ease. really try and have good intentions for yourself as you do this. In, happy. Out, healthy. In, safe. Out, live with ease. Go ahead and continue this practice on your own for a bit, and I'll ring a bell at the end. As you bring yourself back to your surroundings, how do you feel? Was this a positive experience or a negative one? If you found this to be difficult, you're not alone. Many of us struggle with this kind of practice at first. There's nothing wrong with you if wishing yourself well is difficult. You simply have negative conditioning. A critical inner voice that's outlived much of its usefulness. I hope you can understand the value in seeing this negative inner dialogue for what it is, so you can let it go. If you found this exercise to be positive and uplifting, that's excellent, and all the more reason to practice regularly. Remember that this exercise and this kind of meditation practice isn't intended to replace your regular awareness practice. It's one more tool in your gym of meditation that you can do in addition to or alongside your regular daily practice. When I'm struggling to get concentrated, I'll do these phrases for a few minutes and then return to normal meditation practice. That's all for today. I hope you find this useful, and thanks for listening.